Welcome to the Williams Meekin YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
How's Steve today?
How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good for you.
I even patted myself on the back this morning.
Always got to have those politicians here to keep our fighting going.
Got that right. What a year. Anybody else here this morning? Well, good morning out there, everybody.
Good morning, Monty.
Good morning. How's Nancy?
I'm fine.
Good. Say, are you going to follow up on that sugar, finding out the different things on sugar? That...
I think that was Mary...
Mary Ellen?
I think she indicated she would do that.
But I
think she said she would do it next week.
Yeah. Sounds good. I think that was on Tuesday when that came up.
Research on that. It was very interesting to see that the sweet sugar doesn't go stays more granular than the cane sugar when you're doing confectionaries and such.
Yeah, there's a lot of information there, particularly in regards to sugar, you know. Crazy.
I've often wondered about that, but never took the time to look it up.
Well, good morning. This is Friday. This is Monty Beats from Olympia, Washington, on the call. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you that are on the call, that are on the landlines or the WebEx or however you're listening to us this morning. But I'd like to go ahead and get started, if you don't mind. Ruth, are you there? Okay. Monday, what we do on Friday is I try to review some nuggets that I picked up on the calls this last week and from each particular host that was on the call. Monday, Mary Lou from Arizona, she hosts the call, and she always gets us back to basics. In other words, gets us back on the chart and doing the 10 daily, getting as many points as we possibly can, the 10 daily ones. And she talked about the importance of journaling, and I find that, you know, almost all successful things that people do in their lives or have goals or anything else always talk about journaling. Doesn't matter just about health or whatever, but basically finances and recording on a daily basis on how you feel or what you did, and I think that's very, very important. She also talked about how lean muscle mass weighs more than basically fat. That's why we can start to feel like we're trying to lose weight, but we're maybe not getting the great results that we want, and it could be because our lean muscle mass is increasing, and when it increases and we lose fat, we might not have the amount of weight loss that we think we should have. Good things are happening. She talked about how brushing your teeth basically just gets rid of the bacteria on the teeth. Kathleen, whose husband is a dentist, talked about an article that brought home by her husband, and it had to do about coconut oil and teeth, about how to sink your teeth into coconut oil. We also talked about swishing your mouth for anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes. And spit it out in the garbage, not down the drain. Two reasons for that is there's a lot of bacteria in it. The other thing is it goes down the drain, and as it hardens, it might plug up the drain. She talked about how coconut oil can be very beneficial for the skin. A few people chimed in on that also and talked about that. And so that was Monday. On Tuesday, I take care of my aunt on Tuesdays, so I wasn't able to be here on the call in Tacoma, so I have to get up there fairly early, but Donna was on the call. I hope nothing's wrong with Karen in her Transparent Tuesday, and Ruth and Doug and Kathleen spoke up and talked about some things that is happening to them and their results that they were getting over the last week. She also talked about the 10 steps for the winters upon us and the flu season that is here. And I was able, the nice thing about it is I was able to go to the, because I wasn't here, I was able to go to allswell.org, the web page that Steve puts up on recordings of the calls, so go to that and basically record the call and listen to the call that had been recorded and get my information. So she went through 10 points. One was the sleep system and how sleep's important during the winter, and maybe that actually it's important all the time. She talked about getting moving, exercising, and basically the reason for these 10 points is to help you to boost your immunity and get ready for winter coming on. She talked about move, in other words, get moving as far as energy goes, because when we exercise, good things happen within our body. She talked about don't use bacterial soap, because basically bacterial soap gets rid of not only the bad bacteria, but sometimes the good bacteria, and how to wash your hands properly. She talked about drink plenty of fluids, because our body needs it in order to keep up and be hydrated. So when we're hydrated, we don't have these little bugs and viruses that get us so bad. And she talked about air, how basically air is so important. She talked about airing out your home, and if you have a nice Nikan air system, that basically that really helps. But in people who don't have it, that how sometimes the air in their home is worse than the air outside their house. So every once in a while you need to open up your home and get that bad stuff out for people. And it's good information for people that don't have an air system like we have, in order to entice them to thinking about getting the air system. She talked about keeping it cool. In other words, lowering the temperature in your house. And I think I heard her say something about 5 degrees less. And I didn't really pick up on that too much. She talked about laughing, meditation, how getting rid of stress is so important. Do things to help you relax, to relieve the stress that a lot of sometimes people have in our bodies. She talked about eat more produce. In other words, the more fruit and vegetables we eat during the winter, basically the better our body stays in immunity type of things. And the other thing, too, I think Ruth mentioned something about it, that was talked about children, how they get all these colds and sniffles during the winter, but yet when summer comes along, when the fresh fruit and the nice sun shines out there and whatever else, they eat nice fresh food, that they basically don't have those situations. She also talked about reduced sugar intake. Reduced because the sugar is bad for our bodies, because it basically helps lower the immunity in our body, and we certainly don't want that, particularly during the winter months or basically any time. And I missed the 10th one. I don't remember what it is. If Donna was on there, did I miss one somewhere? I think I did, whatever. Nancy also talked about colloidal silver and how that could be beneficial to our bodies and help raise our immunity. And when I was listening to people talk about it, that even in the old days, I was reading an article once on colloidal silver. One of the things they said was in the old days that things that people did in their silverware was basically made from silver. So that every time you eat something that comes basically from silver in silverware, the real silverware, is that basically that's another way of getting the silver into your body, which helps with immunity. And I can't remember where I found that, but I do remember reading it. On Wednesday, Ruth talked to us about a nutritionist, Sally Bear, and some points there. I think she had 10 of them again, about how to keep our nutrition and values up. One is don't overeat. That's very important, because when we overeat, we create real problems within our bodies. Don't eat sugar. One of the other things she talks about was don't eat too much salt. Salt is too much isn't good, but yet our body does need a certain amount of salt to do what it needs to do, particularly in regards to electrolytes. Don't eat processed food. We know that eating processed food is bad for us. Don't eat overcooked food. We know that if we overcook our foods, that basically we lose a lot of nutritional value and we don't get the nutrition that we basically need. If you talk about don't eat too much meat, in other words, that too much meat protein is bad for us. She talked about don't eat too much dairy, and because of those of us that did the China study and read about what dairy, particularly dairy products, can do to our body, and the research that was done on that all over the world, that basically they find that a lot of osteoporosis and things like that, bone diseases, occur when we have too much dairy in our diets. She talked about don't drink too much tea or coffee, and finding out that, well, I guess there's two sides to that. You know, one thing I hear about coffee, one day it's all bad, and the next day it's great for us. And I understand now they've even come out with some kind of a coffee bean diet, and I don't know much about it. My sister asked me about it the other day, when I'd heard about the coffee bean diet. And now I guess there's coffee bean diet that you can take or whatever, eat coffee beans, and it makes you lose weight. So I don't know what to say about coffee or tea. It seems like every day or every year something changes there, but it's not beneficial to our bodies. Of course, don't drink too much alcohol to success. And I loved it when it said to success, because sometimes people do have a glass of wine or whatever with their meals. And also, don't smoke. And those particular things I think were very important. And I know, unfortunately, being a heavy smoker in my younger years, I quit over 30 some, close to 40 years now that I haven't had a cigarette. But I know that even though that I did smoke, and the amount that I did smoke had an unbeneficial effect on my body, so strongly recommend it. And I don't think too many people smoke nowadays, because it's getting to the point to where it's almost like if you have a cigarette in your hand and somebody sees you, they feel those vibes that they're getting, and particularly those that are standing close to an entrance to a building. For those of us that don't smoke, have to walk through it, so it kind of irritates. I know it does me. Mary Ellen talked about her grid of food to basically eat. Ruth talked about she likes an egg, and the reason she likes the raw egg she puts in her smoothie, and that is because the essential amino acids that are basically in that egg. People discussed what they do to get their protein, and understanding that there's a lot of protein in the vegetables. So that is one way of getting it. The question came up about different types of sugar. And I think that Mary Ellen is going to do some research and report back to us on basically the effects of different types of sugar and why they are what they are, from cane sugar to all different artificial types to regular old table sugar. We talked about how B vitamins are very important to, and basically when we eat a lot of sugar, that basically it destroys the B vitamins in our body, and B vitamins we need for our nerves to function properly. Also, she thinks she talked about it on another call later on in the week about it being grumpy, a grumpy type of a vitamin. If we don't have the right vitamin Bs within our body, sometimes we can get very grumpy. On Thursday, Nancy Gilmer from Texas talked about BPA, a new study that was put out by in an article that Dr. McCuller had put on his newsletter, his news site. And basically they're finding that BPA is associated with heart disease, narrows the arteries, it causes cancer of the urine and breast cancers and other cancers to be involved, and that basically BPA has now been found in 95% of all people tested, and it's even being found in babies, and all the things that we discussed. It interferes with our hormone system, which when we have a problem with our hormone system and it doesn't function properly, we definitely have some problems. It's also related to adult obesity and insulin resistance. And I think that's one of the reasons that I've done some little bit of research on Alzheimer's and the problem that it has within the mind. And insulin resistance is very one of the things they're finding out now, that Alzheimer's is at the brain, which utilizes and actually produces insulin in the brain, other than just from our pancreas, that our brains are becoming insulin resistant, and that's the reason that sometimes they're thinking that it might be has some sort of effect on why people come down with Alzheimer's. It's now being called, instead of being a type 1 or a type 2 diabetic, they've even come out and considered Alzheimer's to be a type 3 diabetic in regards to the brain, and they're finding that to be very prevalent. The FDA is not seem to be convinced yet that BPA is a problem. Canada has banned BPA. Other countries are thinking about it and starting to do it. And I've always said, well, if you follow the money and anything has to do with FDA, you'll probably figure out why FDA isn't against something, and that is probably because of the lobbying system that we have here in America, and a lot of money goes towards certain things, or you will, even not afraid to say, even certain people, and that's why they don't react the way that they possibly do. Even the grocery receipts held for 5 seconds because of the ink and the print and the paper from the paper, that even starts to be absorbed within, and we know that anything that is on our skin basically does start to get absorbed into our bodies. So she talked about how she was going to go through her purse and get rid of all of her grocery lists and any of the other receipts that she basically has, because sometimes we want to hang on to those things. When I get gas or whatever, I had heard that before, and I don't even take the receipts when they give them to me sometimes. I tell them to throw it away. Reduced BPA even in plastic wrapped foods. We had quite a discussion that particular day on different wrappings or different containers that possibly have BPA in it, and I found a website, which anybody can. You can go to the web and search up food companies that still use BPA in their cans or wrapping, and then you can also find those that that don't use it in their use cans in particular, and you'll also find that those that have a plan to get rid of it, because it's becoming quite prevalent in America that BPA in the public is not basically good for our health, but yet, like I say, the FDA has not approved of it. Does anybody have any comments, or any host that's on the call that hosted the call during the week want to something to say about this that I possibly missed that they felt was very important on their particular subject that they covered?
Well, Monty, could you give us that website for the cans and the plastics, different manufacturers? I was kind of getting wary of every can I see in the store now.
Well, it's kind of like I think whoever talked about somebody even said on the call last week that I think it was about how that even if you had just five cans of soup, that basically for 5 days that you have an increase in BPA. So I don't have it right here. I think I sent the link to Ruth in regards to that list. I can try to find it again and get back with you, Doug, on maybe Monday or whatever.
All right. Yeah, that'd be very helpful, because I look at the different brands and.
Yeah.
And we'll shop according to the best information.
Yep, and also
I'm sure we all do that.
Yep. Unfortunately, it was a 2010 list, so I imagine that has probably changed, but I'll try and find maybe a better one or get that link to you somehow.
Okay, thank
Anybody
you,
else have any questions or comments about last week?
Hey, Monty, this is Ruth.
Yes, Ruth.
On Wednesday, when I was talking about the 10 points, those 10 points were the compilation of what the people did that lived the longest. And the five different countries had the longest living people, living to 100 and working and dancing when they're 90. And so that was what they did or didn't do, those 10 things.
So are you suggesting that those are 10 things we might not want to do?
Or do, depending on if it was a positive or a negative.
Right.
Don't smoke. Do exercise.
Oh, yeah.
But most of them lived on a hill. So that's why I thought I should always have a house with stairs in it, because it seemed to me that all the people that lived a long time all lived had a lot of climbing and walking up and down a hill.
Well, in all those facts, we've all talked about in this call how exercise is so important, and I really believe that exercise is one of the items that if we don't get involved in, we just sit around in chairs or we don't get the proper exercise that we need, no matter basically, in my opinion, how good we eat or whatever, that if we don't get the proper amount of exercise, and I'm finding that exercise makes our hormones and our ketones and a lot of things in our bodies, which are basically good for us, actually work better and produce certain things that we don't normally get through our food, that exercise basically makes those nutrients that we get synthesize and do certain things. So you're right on. Okay. Anybody else have any comments? Thanks for the clarification, Ruth. I appreciate it. One of the things that we all know about and we heard about because of Kathleen Miller and Mary Lou and Mary in the little video clip that we saw, and that was a gentleman by the name of Steve Newport and his wife Mary T. Newport, which was she's an MD, and she basically is the founding director of the newborn intensive care at Spring Hills Regional Hospital in Florida. And we all know that in basically 2008, the Dr. Newport wrote an article that basically it says, "What if there was a cure for Alzheimer's disease?" And no one knew. She had a problem with Steve, and Steve had a situation where back in 2008, she discovered that he is starting to have dementia, bad dementia problems, and heading into Alzheimer's, and they did the clock test, and they found out that he definitely was there. But she's had a change, quite a change, and in 2008, she discovered that medium-chain fatty acids can sometimes reverse or at least stabilize the disease. And when Steve started, he started to take about 2 tablespoons of coconut oil, and they found out that when he took the 2 tablespoons of coconut oil prior to going into his test, that his test was greater than it was last time. So the results were dramatic, and Steve passed the test with flying colors. Since then, Steve has continued to maintain improvement while taking daily doses of coconut oil, and she has now fortified that with what they call MCT, which are medium-chain triglycerides oil with her meals. So what I'd like to do in kind of a reviewing things, and we hear about testimonials and how things are going, I would just kind of like to go back and review a little bit. We all know about how Steve's first year and how he really came about and what coconut oil had done for him, and he was able to go back and basically after starting coconut oil, Steve still seemed to be heading in the right direction. And we're going to talk about his second year now, been taking the coconut oil, and she has also incorporated MCT into that particular item. Gradual improvement, especially in his short-term and recent memory. He found work that was quite meaningful to him as a volunteer. He volunteers 2 days a week in a warehouse in Spring Hills Regional Hospital where Mary works. We were, however, about to enter a period of ups and downs. And the reason I'd like to talk about this is that I think there's quite a lesson here in regards to, people sometimes when they do things, they want instant response. They want instant gratification, whether it be money or health or whatever it is. They want, they just want it right now. If it doesn't work, they want to, something happens and it doesn't work as well as they thought it worked. They either want to quit it, say, well, it's no good or it don't work, or they quit doing whatever it is they are doing. They don't even start it. But basically, Mary goes on, and she wrote a book, and the book is called, like I said, Alzheimer's Disease, What If There Was a Cure, and I'm taking this information from the book, and I'll do read it, a little bit of it, because it comes from her words and how she particularly felt about caregiving and the things that have been her setbacks, and how from these setbacks and being persistent and consistent in her belief that coconut oil and medium-chain fatty acids have a real beneficial effect on Alzheimer's, she stayed with the program, and we'll see what has happened. So we had some setback in recovery. Just when everything was going very well, she came down with bronchitis in June of 2009. And, of course, she passed it on to Steve, and Steve caught it from her. She goes on to say that Steve was sick with constant coughing for several weeks. He took a product to suppress it that was concentrated form of dextromethorphan, one of the active ingredients in many over-the-counter cold and cough medicines. And she goes on to say that normally I gave him all of his medications all the time, but one day when I was working, because of his condition, understanding that, he filled a 2-ounce cup normally used for NyQuil with this product instead of 2 teaspoons recommended dose. And she goes on, and basically what happened is about a week later, she found a few weeks after the bronchitis and Steve had got over it and everything, he had an outbreak of fever blisters on his lips that took more than a month to disappear. In spite of all the coconut oil he was consuming, in the previous year, he'd had a tiny blister for a few days, just twice a major improvement from nearly constant battle he'd had for more years before starting coconut oil. On the day that the blister showed up, he said he felt a sharp, stabbing pain on the scalp over the right side of his head. During his illness, Steve told me at one point he felt like he had lost something, but couldn't explain what. He got up more often at night and became confused about where the health bathroom was. He started putting some of his clothes on backwards, a problem that he didn't have before. He went to a 4th of July dance and he couldn't even remember how to do with his arms and hold Mary in regards to try to dancing. He started wearing just one shoe or sock again. In other words, he had a setback. On the other hand, Steve, he's still able to volunteer work and use the a tractor to cut the grass, and his short-term memory still seemed to improve over a year earlier. But needless to say, negative changes worried me a great deal. I wondered if he was going to be able to recover from his setback. It was a very slow process, but he did recover almost completely. And there again, I talk about how sometimes we do things, or we might start eating a different type of food, and we hear something in this call that could be, we've heard, is beneficial for other people. But if we try it and it doesn't work for us, then we kind of get off it. In December now, 2009, Steve was able to dance at holiday parties, and the shoes stayed on both feet, and his conversation flowed considerably better once again. He remained perfectly strong, and by January of 2010, he seemed better than before the illness. And she goes on to write, and that's why I talk about journaling. She goes on to say, here are some journal entries from that time. January 13th. 2010, we're talking about how Steve is doing much better, is happy again, and seems very much like Steve 10 years ago with regard to his personality and interaction with me. Although he still has a problem with doing things, he surprised me last evening when he saw a classic film clip featuring Megan Riley and Billy Crystal in a deli. He filled in the next line spoken by the lady at a nearby table. February 26th, she said, and Joanne is their daughter. And basically because Steve was having some problems, and she goes on to talk about a little later how he started to say things like he was going to just go down the road to visit his dad and his family. Well, what Mary realized was that down the road was 700 miles to Cincinnati. And so that's when Mary and Joanne started to really understand that possibly he could wander away, and so Joanne left her job and started to be a full-time caregiver for her dad while Mary worked. On February 26th, she says, on Joanne's birthday, we ate at a Japanese restaurant, and much to our surprise, Steve picked up chopsticks and ate perfectly with them. Most people can't even do this at all. Today we went to the hair salon. He said hello to our hairdresser, Jackie, by name, and asked how her little boy was doing. February 8th, this was Steve's 60th birthday. Steve is no longer depressed and usually bright and cheerful. He continues to volunteer at the hospital warehouse twice a week, and he basically wants to do more. It's been a long time since he was inflexibly taking something apart or lost his keys in the garage or doing other things stupid. He says he still takes care of the yard and vacuums, like when we saw him that video that we showed that he was actually vacuuming. Then she goes on to say, and he doesn't drive yet, though, and she doesn't expect him ever to drive again. He needs to still be told how to do certain simple things. He took many years for these skills to erode, and if these pathways in his brain have died, he will never get them back, unless he can learn these simple things from the beginning like a child once again. His MRI in the spring of 2008 showed considerable atrophy, which means shrinkage, of the brain. So there will be some major limits on how much recovery we can expect. Then he got involved, he got so good that actually Eli Lilly, and we all know them, the medicine company that produces medicine, he became so much better that, excuse me, he actually qualified to be put into a test. And by the end of January 2010, Steve had been enrolled in the Eli Lilly Semaglutide Star for 18 months. It was a new medication that they were testing to going to be come out with on the market. And basically he says this was a crossover study, meaning that any time after 12 to 14 months, people were on the placebo would be switched to the study medication, and those that started the program actually started on some of this medication. But basically what happened was the drug is known to cause certain side effects, and a particular one is the hair color change. But Steve did not develop the mysterious change until the beginning of February 2010. That was basically about a month later, because when we began to notice that his hair was coming in white at the roots. Steve also developed several other possible side effects. He had an abrasion on his shin at the beginning of February that had not healed by March 1st. He also nicked himself shaving and the spots would open up and bleed while he was sleeping up to 5 days before they would actually heal up. So they were scheduled to go on a trip. Mary has become quite a voice in the Alzheimer's community. Excuse me. She was asked to speak at the Alzheimer's Disease International in Greece, and Steve was still involved in the in that particular program, but they decided whether to continue the study and risk possibly more serious side effects of this particular drug, and so they discontinued the drug. And considering they might have not, and the reason they did it was by because Steve actually went on the trip with them to Greece, and they thought that possibly the risk of not having the great medical facilities that we have here in the United States, that she withdrew him from the program. And basically what happened is the apparent side effects disappeared, and he had a half-inch wide band of white hair slowly working its way out as normal color change began to grow in the roots once again. Even though we could not completely be certain, we know that Steve was on the medication, and that's when these particular problems started to happen. He also had some depression problems in 2010. I should say that basically they were finding that after when Steve dropped out of the Eli study, his 87-year-old father lost his battle with diabetes and heart disease on March 23rd. This was a big setback to Steve. Steve went back into depression, and they had to revisit that. And Steve began spending time talking to himself in the mirror as he was talking to him about his father, and even named the images of the mirror Paul. And so he had some real problems there that they had to basically... Here again, it goes back to what happened at some point, away from it. Steve also, he also began having problems finding certain rooms at bedtime. He didn't even find out where his bedroom was. But here's the amazing thing. On April 28th, that you were talking 2010 now, that Steve had an MRI at the same facility at the University of South Florida, where he previously had an MRI, which was performed in June of 2008, when they found out the amount of shrinkage in his brain. About 10 days later, after they went to have the other MRI, they got some good news. The bottom line of the report read, stable MRI brain in comparison to prior examination, that's the one in 2008, was stable. So she basically called and found out that there had been no more shrinkage within the brain, and they were excited about that. So, the first year after Steve started coconut oil, and she also started taking MCT oil, which is medium chain triglyceride oil, was a year of substantial improvement. The disease process seemed to reverse a couple of years in some areas, and even more in others. Overall, most of the second year was one of relative stability. Then from there, I'm going to move on into, they went on this trip to Greece and a few other places overseas, and they had a great time while they were gone. But in the third year, at the beginning of the year, three in the spring of 2010, after he started taking the coconut oil, she writes, we can only hope that our persistence and strict adherence to a diet that includes medium-chain fatty acids to keep ketones available to Steve's brain will help them sustain this miraculous reprieve from the nightmare. How long will this last? Well, I don't know, she says. The answer to this question, but believe that the clock has been set back at least 2 to 3 years, and in some respects, even longer. God willing, we will have many more good years together. As I have often thought to myself, a lament I have heard about from so many others, if we can stay where we are now, it will mean everything in this battle with Alzheimer's disease. While awaiting the availability of this Dr. Richard Veers, he has a ketone ester coming out, which is a new product that has been, does have a patent, and they're doing the research and stuff on it now, but they're finding it has some great results. The best strategy is to stay on track with our healthy diet, that's eating good healthy foods, and that includes coconut oil and MCT oil. In order to provide him with the brain ketones as an alternative fuel, this will help provide Steve with the best quality of life he can have while living with this disease. So also they found out, she got a call back in August 17th, and they found out that the Eli Lilly called them, and they received a call from the research nurse at the Eli Institute, and the drug trial, and that fact, reviewing the first 18 months of data, the company learned that not only was there an increase in skin cancer, but that people who received this drug had experienced accelerated worsening of the disease. So they took that, and Mary was so glad. She goes on to explain how she took Steve off of the program, and that the meeting change acids helped him improve to as much that he qualified for that. She was excited that the medium change fatty acids, the coconut oil and so forth, had brought him to a condition where he could actually qualify for the test, but she's really glad that she got him after. He had some problems with gout and prednisone. Prednisone basically put him into some real bad situations, and when the gout cleared up, they took him off the prednisone. He immediately quit being so fidgetive, walking around, being confused and whatever. And here again, she praises the fact that basically the coconut oil has done what it needs to do. And she basically goes on to say how people often ask how Steve is doing now compared to when I wrote my first article in July of 2008. And there's a comparison list of here about what, just sort of kind of like a chart to how he was in 2009 compared to how he is in 2011. And basically pretty much everything has either stayed the same or improved greatly. Steve continues to take half and half, a mixture of coconut oil and MCT oil. He receives 3 tablespoons at each meal and 2 tablespoons at bedtime. He eats a low-carbohydrate, whole food diet with organic foods whenever possible and receives about 1 tablespoon per day of cod liver oil and fish oil, as well as vitamins and other supplements. In spite of so many calories as oil, and there is a lot of calories in oil, he currently weighs about 10 pounds less than he did when he started taking the oils. This is amazing. His triglyceride levels have been 70 or less, and his HDL good cholesterol has increased from about 35 milligrams per deciliter. Before starting the program, he is now at 105. That's the good cholesterol. So it's really brought up his good cholesterol and kept his triglycerides basically low. As you know, the light switch came back on the day Steve started taking coconut oil. In spite of some setbacks, particularly this last few years, this dietary invention has brought about a significant improvement in his quality of life. We will continue to include coconut oil and MCT oil in our diet to provide ketones in an alternative fuel for the brain as a major component of our strategy to fight Alzheimer's disease. And that was because she has here something. I'll explain to you what the mixture of coconut oil was to MCT. She puts in 16 ounces in a container, 16 ounces of MCT oil, and then she puts in 12 ounces of warmed coconut oil in a container and mixes that up, and she stores it in the refrigerator. So that's how he gets his coconut oil and his MCT oil, other than the food that he basically takes. One of Steve's favorite snacks, we'll call it, is coconut fudge. You know? And basically how she makes the coconut fudge is she puts 1 cup of coconut oil, that's warmed coconut oil, for those, now Mary Lou doesn't have to worry about that in Arizona because hers always stays liquid, but us here in the Northwest, it gets a little white and hard. She puts in 1 cup of coconut oil and one cup of chocolate chips. And here's her directions. She melt and thoroughly mixes together the oil and chocolate chips in a bowl or a large measuring cup. She divides the mixture equally into a plastic ice cube tray and places it in the freezer. She goes on to say, chill until set. In a 16 cube tray, each cube will equal 1 tablespoon of coconut oil and will easily pop out of the tray, store in the refrigerator or freeze. And then she goes on to say a variation of that if you wanted to. You can even put in 1/4 cup of grated coconut or nut pieces for variety. So that was just kind of, I thought that was interesting and bring us up to date on where Steve is now. She wrote this book in 2011. And I just, to me, there were some lessons there for me, and that is basically whether it's business or life or our Nikin business or our health programs that we talk about here on this call, that we just need to be persistent and consistent in what we're doing, from exercise to sleep to drinking the water, utilizing the Nikin products, taking the nutrients, the vitamins and minerals, the supplements that we have, and breathing that good air. And if we do, and we hear things, and we might try it, and we don't get good results from it, or whatever, but we know that it could be beneficial and or something beneficial, like we're losing weight, and all of a sudden we quit losing weight. Sometimes we want to immediately put that blame on what it is that we're doing, so we get away from what it is we're doing on a consistent, persistent basis. So I thought there was a great lesson there for me to mention today in regards to what Mary and Steve went through in their lives. And I know that her being a caregiver, this information is so important to people that are caregivers for other people. Does anybody have any comments or suggestions? So it sounds like things are headed in the right direction for Steve. She knows he'll never be like he was originally, but doing the things that we've talked about in this program that they're doing, and this is basically how this all came about as far as I'm concerned. In their coconut oil and understanding coconut oil and the benefit that it has to what medium-chain fatty acids do in our body. Now, I know we've all heard about ketones, and particularly those of us that are diabetics, that diabetic ketosis is very bad, but this we're talking about a different type of ketone, and I don't want to get into that today, but how our brain basically supplies its own glucose. It needs glucose and insulin. But if our brain is insulin resistant, our brain does not absorb the insulin that it needs to do, but because of the ketones, it actually feeds the brain and allows it to function properly and get the nutrition that it needs in order to function properly. So if nobody's got anything else or any comments you want to say, we'll go ahead and wrap up this week. And it's nice to have each and every one of you here. Mary Lou will be here with us on Monday. Have a great weekend and continue to do what you're doing. And be consistent and persistent, whatever that is, whatever works for you. Go ahead.
When you talked about she made up in the refrigerator 16 ounces of the medium chain triglycerides, and how much of the coconut? How many
I think
ounces?
It was 12 ounces.
Okay. And that was for all day? He would just take some at intervals during the day?
Yes. She talks about it in one of the other pages that I didn't get into.
But well, you said three tablespoons at meals and two tablespoons at bedtime.
Right. And one of the things they're finding out about ketones is if the body can keep the ketone level that what it needs to be within the body, it's fine. Now, when you take MCT oil, which is medium chain triglycerides, they only affect the body for about 3 hours. When you take coconut oil, it normally lasts anywhere from 8 to 9 hours. It keeps the medium in the brain. So that's why she mixes the two. He gets kind of like a slam of medium chain triglycerides and fatty acids. But mixing the two together, she gets the ketones in his body for a longer period of time. It's just like when we think about ketones. Think about the people in Haiti when they had the earthquake and they were trapped under all those the pieces of concrete or whatever. They, you know, they didn't have water, but they were able to still function. And that was because when we go into a starvation mode, when we go to sleep at night, and we're going into a fast because we don't eat. For like, if I eat at 6 o'clock at night and I don't eat again till basically, let's say 8 o'clock after I get off the call or whatever, I'm basically gone into a fast and our ketone levels increase. So that's the reason that when they found the people in Haiti, when they pulled them out from underneath all this rubble, that some of them were excited and clapping and singing and doing whatever because they'd been rescued, is that the brain still was able to function because of the ketone levels within their body. The body is a miraculous thing.
Yeah, I came in late. Did you say where she got this, the medium chain triglycerides?
She talks about, in her book, she's like Dr. Fife. She recommends quite a few books of Dr. Fife. She does exactly the same thing in this book, and in it is one of the resources for medium chain fatty acids. She talks, and let me see here, just let me try to find it here real quick for you. It's basically pretty well much you can go to the internet.
I'm going to have to get some of these books, honestly. I don't want to, but I'm just going to have to.
She lists several sources for medium chain triglyceride oil, from Alpha Health products to, you can get it on Amazon, Barlean's organic oils,
Oh, yes.
Nutiva, Spectrum has it. There's Swanson
okay.
Health Products, Tropical Conditions. There's quite a few places. She gives resources for where you can get MCT oil.
Okay. The name of the book is, again?
Alzheimer's Disease, What If There Was a Cure, by Mary T. Newport.
Okay, thank you.
A lot of other good information in here on ketones and why they're so beneficial to our body and our brain and why we basically need it.
Okay. Thank
Anybody
you.
Else?
What was the name of the doctor that's developing that patented ketone ester?
It's Veech, V-E-E-C-H.
Okay. Thank you.
V-E-E-C-H apostrophe S. And they figure that will be on the market here within basically 3 years. And I guess they're getting absolutely great results from it.
Great. Could you spell that again? You said something about apostrophe S.
Yeah, V-E-E-C-H apostrophe S.
Oh.
That's his name, Dr. Veech.
All right.
Veeches, I guess, like Deeds with an S on the back of
your head. Yeah, right. Okay. Thank you.
You bet, Doug. Well, you know, well, let's just go ahead and we're a little, oh my gosh, how time flies. Again, thanks to each and every one of you, each and every one of the hosts, the viewers that are on the call, either on the WebEx or the landline. We appreciate each and every one of you. Have a great weekend. Know you'll be here with us Monday. Goodbye.
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Matthew.
You're welcome.
Bye.